something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, Being Spiritually Minded.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. There are some people here. I hope you are hearing this. Listen. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. You've been here 6 years. When they ask you, I have been in Christ's mercy 5 years. You're still having to be convinced to attend the service. Three people have to come and visit you before you can attend the cell meeting. You are yet carnal. Look at this. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, Paul had some of them in the church here. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So there's milk, there's solid food, okay? There's meat, there's strong meat. Okay, where are you? Where are you? Are you sure? If you are not winning souls, you can't have strong meat. Why? Because he says the time has come for you to be teachers. Why are you going to do your teaching? All of us can stand here or behind the pulpit here. We all can't do it. If we waited our turns to do it, Jesus will come before it got to some of us. But you have to win souls. When you win souls, you disciple them. And they come with you to the house of God. You become their teacher. Some of them will not understand what the pastor is sharing, that the higher classes will understand. It becomes your responsibility to break it down for them. You have become their teacher. Now look at this. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13, I want to read that to you from the, who's got the NIV? Who's got the NIV? That the NIV? Okay. Thank you. Now, let me read to you the 13th verse. He says, and a person who is living on milk isn't very far along in a Christian life and doesn't know much about doing what is right. Now, this is not the NIV. Just a moment. I knew it wasn't the NIV. This is the NLT. NIV? Thank you. All right, listen to this. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Anyone living on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted about the teaching. The teaching on what? Righteousness. That means the doctrine of righteousness. We have a series of teaching on the doctrine of righteousness. Listen, you want to establish yourself at a certain level of the Spirit. Those tapes are compulsory. I'm serious. The doctrine of righteousness. There'll probably be maybe at least 13 tapes or more. The doctrine of righteousness. You should listen to them again and again and again until that message makes a stamp on your heart. It's too important. The doctrine of righteousness. That's the title. Now, we just read it. He said, anybody who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the doctrine of righteousness. God's teaching about righteousness. Why? Because there is a teaching about righteousness. But most Christians don't know it. So he says, they are not skilled. They are not skilled in the doctrine of righteousness. The picture that Paul gives us is the picture of a man who's fighting with a weapon. Maybe he's using a sword or anything else that he requires to be very skillful. Now he says, the one who is a babe is unskillful in the doctrine of righteousness. He's unskillful, which means there is a spiritual skill to be applied in righteousness. Why do many Christians have their faith always assaulted by Satan? Because of the doctrine of righteousness. They don't understand the doctrine of righteousness. And the Bible says, if you don't understand the doctrine of righteousness, it says you're a babe. Your understanding of righteousness is what makes you a master over satanic forces. Now, you heard what our brother came to tell us earlier on. What's the name again? Franklin. That's right. Now, and he said something that he learned while listening to one of the tapes. He said that David overcame Goliath because of his knowledge. How true. The knowledge. To be skillful with the doctrine of righteousness. If you understand it, it will change your life. And when we say it will change your life, we're talking about everything about you will be altered by your understanding of the doctrine of righteousness. Now, it begins with the very definition of righteousness. What it is and what is not. There's a difference between righteousness and right living. Right living is a result of righteousness. You live right, not so you can be righteous, but you live right because you are righteous. And your supply from heaven is based on your righteousness. Your lack in life is based on your lack of understanding of righteousness. Now, listen to this. It's very, very important. Righteousness gives us the word. Let me explain. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And what happened to him? Now, with that understanding that God had accounted righteousness to him, reckoned righteousness to him, he possessed the word. What was that? The righteousness brought him into the relationship which already had been consummated with the covenant, the blood covenant that he had with Jehovah. The blood covenant didn't bring it. It brought it legally. But the man couldn't enjoy it. You see, every one of us here is connected to God by virtue of our new birth. But it hasn't changed our situation in life. It hasn't stopped us from experiencing certain things that the devil puts on us, like maybe some pain or some lack We experience certain things like the world does. But for you to live in victory, you have to understand your righteousness. Now, he says, their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Meaning that the righteousness which we have is God's righteousness. He set his own righteousness to Abraham's account. Meaning that Abraham became righteous legally from God's point of view. And when the man understood that he was righteous, it made him a master. Let me explain something that you need to get about righteousness. Righteousness is the rightness of God. What do you mean by the rightness of God? Oh, I wish you'll all catch it. The rightness of God means God cannot be wrong. It means that he can only be right. Let me explain that. That is not a state of mind or a correctness of things, but a power. Let me explain how that works. If God looks at this and says it is a tree, he cannot be wrong. Why? Because it turns into a tree. Do you understand? When you say the rightness of God, what he calls it is what it becomes. God doesn't lie. He cannot lie. Because when he tells a lie, it becomes the truth. So he cannot lie. Do you understand? Look at God. He says, Abraham, his name was Abraham, exalted father, assumed father, had no child. Now God says, you are not Abraham. Your name is father of many. That's a lie in the human mind. It's a lie. How can he be called father of many? He got no child. Well, what did he become? Father of many. So righteousness, when righteousness is imparted into your spirit, what he's saying is there is a power, a divine power, a divine working that has been imparted to your spirit. It's called the rightness of God.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org for an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Judy from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life? And who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love Old Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love Old Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did. Because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy, Stockholm, Sweden. Lenny's Veg 61 19147 behind Solituna Hantavagars, Havi. Worship with us on Sundays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony, please call 073-733-0570 or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveworld360.com.
This is the continuation of the message, Being Spiritually Minded.
Hallelujah.
Righteousness, when righteousness is imparted into your spirit, what he's saying is there is a power, a divine power, a divine working that has been imparted to your spirit. It's called the rightness of God. So when David began to say to that man, I will take your head off of your shoulders today, and I'll give your carcass and the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to the birds of the earth. He said those things. Then the Bible tells us there was no sword in David's hand. But everything he said came to pass. So when you're born again, you're a child of God. You are not a child of God in the making. You are a child of God. You're born that way. When your wife gave birth to a baby, it was not a human being in the making. Was it a human being in the making? Now, he says, anybody who lives on milk is unskillful in the doctrine of righteousness. He's unskillful. So Satan tells him, you see why you are weak? Most of the preaching that you hear around the world, with many, many Christians, not all of them, a lot of them are sound doctrine, but there's a lot of the teaching and preaching that the many of God's people hear that's just not right. Let me give you a simple one. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. It's very easy, and we say, it's true. Which power has he lost? Is it the legal power or the vital power? Prayer doesn't bring power. Does prayer bring power? What is prayer? You're talking to God. It's God that's powerful. And then you are powerful. The prayer doesn't bring the power. It is not true that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. If you park your car in the garage, does it cease to be a car because you're not using it? It's still a car. It's just not being used. So, a Christian that's not prayerful is not powerless. He's just not using what he's got. And most of the time, people don't pray, not because they don't want to pray, but because they don't understand prayer. Mostly, if people were taught on prayer accurately, they would pray. You'd love to pray, especially when you get answers. Praise God forevermore. If you've been praying and there are no answers, you'd be tired of praying. If you have a problem and somebody said, we have to pray about this. Oh, sure. Prayer, prayer, prayer. I've been praying. Just do something. Especially when it's got to do with your money. Say, I need money now. Do something. You don't want any praying. I prayed and God asked me to come and see you. So do something. Hallelujah. All right, now, there's a verse right close to that. That's the 14th verse. Now, let me read that 13th verse from the King James. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He is a babe. If he doesn't understand the doctrine of righteousness, he's a babe. So I said, what? Get the tapes on the doctrine of righteousness. Now, that'll set you on your way. You understand? Because you've got to learn the doctrine of righteousness. What the Bible teaches about righteousness. Who is righteous? What does righteousness mean? And what does it give us? Hallelujah. What does it give us? What does it give us? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so he says, but strong meat. Everybody says strong meat. You know strong meat. Have you ever had it? Have you had strong meat? You have to drop your knife and your fork and you go, you know what I'm talking about. You don't use these ones now. You go this way. You grab it. And then you pull. That's strong meat. You don't give that to children. You don't take away their teeth. Strong meat. Certain people can take strong meat. Have you met them? You're trying the meat and it's not working. Someone says, can I have it? Let me have that one. And nothing will be left in the plate. He knows what to do. So in the realm of the spirit, and strong meat could be juicy. Go like this, everybody. Go like, You understand it? All right. Okay. So he says here, but strong meat belongeth to them that are, hallelujah, that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use, thank you, Lord, have their senses exercised. I like this. To discern both good and evil. By reason of use. They have their spiritual senses. It's not talking about the five senses of the body. Spiritual senses exercised by reason of use. They've been there. They've been put into work what God gave to them. They're functioning. And now they can discern between good and evil. Let me show you one of such things. Peter says to Jesus, and Jesus says, in a few days I'm going to die. The Jews will hand me over to the Romans. And Peter says, No. You will not die. No, you are the Christ. You won't die. Nice. It sounded positive. It sounded wonderful. But Jesus, by reason of use, in other words, being that he had been walking with God, he knew the difference. And he knew who was behind it. He said, hold on, Satan. Get out of here. For thou subverts not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And Peter was startled because Jesus turned to him and said, get thee hence, Satan. And you know, when Jesus cast out devils, he didn't talk like a gentleman. He opened his eyes. That's where Peter and John learned it. The Bible says Peter fastened his eyes on the man at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. He looked at him, opened his eyes. Where did he get it from? Jesus. When Jesus cast out devils, he didn't say, come out. Hear him at the grave of Lazarus. He didn't say, Lassie. He said, Lazarus, come out. One day, just for starters, when Jesus just began, let me show you how he was launched into the city. Here, the crowd gathered. John was baptizing them one after the other. Then there was this one that John stopped. He had been saying, there's somebody amongst you. The latchet of his shoes are not worthy to untie. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then Jesus, this is he. Jesus said, baptize me. He dipped Jesus into the water. And the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. Then the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. The translation says, he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. He ran into the wilderness. And everybody was looking at him. What's this? They thought he was a gentleman. And he just ran like a wild man. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost made him run. Like he made Elijah run. That was not going to be the first time a man of God would run like that. The Holy Ghost made Jesus run. And he ran into the wilderness. Then the Bible says he was with the wild beasts. No, you are praying. I say, I'm praying like this. One wall gecko is looking at you. Hey! 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 I rebuke you. Wall gecko. All your prayer has ceased. From then on, Father, or you run, you just go like this from the room. To the next room to continue your prayer. What drove you? You say, the first time I wanted to pray from 5 a.m. See what happened. Four gecko at 5. He just disappeared. The Bible says Jesus was with the wild beast. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost is working in your life, all the things around you will be tamed by His presence. Tamed by His presence. You have nothing to fear. They are tamed. Around you, their strength is gone from them. He says, strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you'd like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.
Wow! This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Stockholm, Sweden. Lenny's Veg 61-191-47. Behind Solituna, Hantavakos, Habi. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to pray with us or share your testimony, please call 073-733-0570 or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveword360.com. Thank you and God bless you.